and shake. Nope, there. Hey, well, hey. It's great when technology works. Well, good morning. Hey, my name's Mark Porter. I'm the executive pastor here. If I have not met you, I'd love to meet you after the service. I'm filling in this week for Doug, our senior pastor, who is out of town. And I'm going to do the second installment of our Quiet series. Now, for those of you that know me, it's kind of ironic that I'm teaching in the Quiet series because no one ever accused me of being a ninja or being quiet in any way, right? Like when I walk into a room, people know I walked into the room, okay? I embarrass my wife and my family quite often. They're just like, hey, you know, bring it down. So just prove God could use anyone to bring his message, right? Now, last week when we kicked off this series, Doug said for a lot of us, our life is like a snow globe. Like, it is just frantic and it's noisy and there's just lots of voices and really, I can relate to this. I don't know if you can, but a lot of times my mind and my heart and my life just feel like this, like it's just this snow globe that's shaken up. And yet what he shared last week was this, that we have a God-given need. A God-given need for quiet, for stillness, and for solitude. And if ever there is a spiritual discipline that has been neglected by me, and I'm guessing by many of us, it's this one. This idea of silence and quiet and solitude. It's modeled for us in Scripture, and I believe that it may be something we are deeply, deeply missing out on in our spiritual walks. Now, you may not be a spiritual person this morning, and someone bribed you to come here or something, but let me just say this, quiet is not just something we need spiritually, it's something we need physically, emotionally, and mentally. I pulled about a half dozen studies this week off the internet from journals like the Internal Medicine, Journal of American Medical Association, National Academy of Science, all kinds of different studies. And I just wanted to share with you just a few things that I found. First of all, a 2011 study showed this, that just about 40 minutes of silence three times a week actually improves memory and stimulates brain growth. Like, it makes you smarter. It helps your memory. It stimulates the hippocampus region of your brain and actually can help with memory and learning and spatial orientation. So if you're not a spiritual person this morning, you should be quiet because it makes you smarter, right? And when your mom said, hey, the TV is rotting your brain, she was right, right? The other thing is it relieves stress. We know that noise can raise stress hormone levels in your body. And a study in Heart found that just a few minutes a day of quiet and silence will actually lower your blood pressure and your heart rate. Like, quiet gives health benefits. In addition, it helps fight insomnia. Not just right before bed, but just a few minutes of silence during the day will help you sleep at night. And then it's been shown that extended periods of time, like an hour or more, will actually heighten your physical, mental, and emotional sensitivity. What they mean by this is, like, when you are quiet for an extended period of time and then you re-enter into the world, your senses are heightened, right? Your sight, your tactile senses, your hearing, you're more emotionally stable, like you're more sensitive and in tune with your emotions. And then we already talked about the mental acuity. And then we also know that silence and quiet helps promote healing, which is why they don't have slot machines up on the cardiac care floor, right? So we know there's benefits to quiet. And here's the thing we've been asking in this series. What if God speaks loudest? What if God speaks loudest when I am quietest? What if he speaks loudest when I am quietest? And I want to say right up front, I've never heard the audible voice of God, but I have certainly sensed him speaking to me and prompting me through his word, his written word, through his Holy Spirit, through his providence, through godly counsel. And I'm not saying God can't speak audibly. He's a big God. I'm not going to put restrictions on him. But he does speak. whether it's through his Spirit, through his word, audibly, through his prompting, I believe he still speaks and he has things to say to us. And so we're going to look today at a story of a guy named Samuel. In the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and some of you may have heard the story. And what we want to do is learn from Samuel about how we can hear from God. How do we hear from God? So let's dive into his story and see what he has to say to us today. It says this, "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was." Now, here, let me just set the scene for you here. Here's what's going on. So Eli is the chief priest. He kind of runs the tabernacle, and Israel was in a pretty dark place. They were adrift, spiritually speaking. They didn't have a lot of leadership, and a lot of that was because of Eli's poor leadership. They were adrift. They were struggling. They were, basically, they had wandered away from God and his leadership. And it says, the word of the Lord was rare in those times. And when it did come, it was usually not good news. It was usually judgment. And a lot of it was because of Eli's leadership. He was a poor leader. Basically, the tradition was that the chief priest would basically pass down the family business to their sons. That's what happened from the days of Moses. Aaron and his sons had run the deal, but yet Eli's sons were a mess. They had rebelled against God. They had rejected the things of God. They were adults now, and they were they had really done some despicable things in the eyes of God. And then there's this guy, Samuel. Well, how did he end up? Well, basically, he's an intern, right? He's emptying trashes, he's sweeping the floor, he's filling out the offering report, whatever it is that Eli needs him to do, that's what Samuel's doing. He's an understudy. He'd been dedicated to the house of the Lord by his mom, Hannah. He was kind of a miracle baby at probably 2 to 3 years old, and he'd been serving under Eli for at least a decade. Most historians believe that he was probably 12 or 13 years old at the time when God speaks to him. And look what happens. It says this. "Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call you, go back and lie down.' So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son,' Eli said, 'I did not call you, go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you call me.'" Three times, God calls him. Now, this is a side note. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I believe when God calls, when he has a very specific calling on your life, that it's going to be confirmed and that he will do it multiple times. I truly believe that. Now, there's always what I would say is general revelation. Like, we can read the scriptures and we're called to invite and to serve and to give and to love and those kind of things. But sometimes there's just specific situations where God may speak into your life for you to take an action. And I believe that's confirmed. But let's look at what Samuel does here. He says, the first thing he says, and what's so important for us to get today, is he says, "Here I am." That may seem insignificant to you, but Samuel responds the way some other big names in Scripture respond. Guys like Abraham and Jacob and Moses and Isaiah. He says, "Here I am." Basically, he says, "I'm available. I'm ready. What do you need?" Now, he was confused. He thought it was Eli, not God. But his posture is what is important. He was willing to volunteer and be available for service. The posture of his heart is what is so important to us to get. Here I am. I'm available. I'm ready to hear. And his posture is something we can't miss. The other thing it says here that's real interesting is it says, he did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And here's the thing I think we should know about this, is that he had been serving in the tabernacle for about a decade, right? So he knew things of God. He'd heard stories about God. He'd been taught by Eli about God. He knew the statutes of God. But he knew about God more than he had an intimate and deep relationship with God. His relationship with God was going to move from knowing about him to experiencing him personally, deeply, and intimately. And what's going to happen is he's going to move from knowing about God to knowing God deeply and trusting God intimately. See, he knew him. He knew about him, but he's about to know him and experience him and trust him in a deep and meaningful way. The other thing I want to say here is this. Samuel's lack of experience, his lack of knowledge, even his position in life. He was an intern. He was 12 or 13 years old. None of those things prohibited him from being called and used by God. And I think somebody in here needs to hear that. Your age, your experience, your education, your station in life does not prohibit you from being transformed, renewed, and filled by the love of God and being used by God. When you say, here I am. And that's what made Samuel qualified. He was available. He was ready. And with childlike acceptance, step forward. What might God do in you? What might he do through you? If you could just quiet yourself, if I could quiet myself enough to sense his prompting, his calling, his direction. What might be holding you back from experiencing that today? Because here's the big takeaway. See, quiet has to do with both the conditions of your surroundings. That's important. That's what we've been talking about. Silence, solitude, quiet. But it also has to do with the condition of your heart. How's your heart? How's the noise level in your mind and your soul and your heart today? When I say heart, that's what I mean. I mean like the essence of who you are, not just your physical life, but your spiritual life, your emotional life. How's your heart? How's the noise level in there? Does it feel like that snow globe that's all shaken up? We've got to learn to quiet not just our surroundings, but to quiet our heart. What if God does speak loudest when I am quietest? And quiet has to do with more than just our surroundings, but the condition and posture of our heart. You're like, hey, that sounds great. How do I do that? I'd love to hear from God. I'd love to sense his prompting. I'd love to move more into knowing him deeply and having this intimate presence with him. Well, let's look at some advice that Eli gave Samuel. It says this. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Some of your translations may say he realized or he discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling us other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Now I mentioned that Eli is not a great, he was not a great leader. He was a little bit of a mess, but he gave some really good counsel. And I think we can learn from Eli's advice to Samuel today for us. The first thing he says is this. He says, go lie down. Go lie down. Now, I'm not saying go to sleep, but he's saying slow your body down. Like I think sitting, getting in a posture of reclining, right? This is the first step. Get into solitude and silence and a quiet place and practice the discipline. Make yourself available by slowing your body down and mind down. Remove stimulation. Take a deep breath. Turn off your phone, the TV, the Xbox. And then he says, if he calls you, don't be presumptuous that God's going to speak the first time you get quiet. Samuel served for over a decade before God called him specifically to something. But practice the discipline. Practice the discipline of solitude, of quiet, and saying, here I am. And then the third piece of advice, he says this. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. This speaks to the posture of our heart and is really the second part of his posture. He said, I'm available. Here I am. And then he says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, I believe God will speak and guide his people when we seek him in the posture of a servant. And a servant trusts the master. Trusts the master and is willing and humble enough to obey and respond. That's the hard part. See, his posture is what was important. Yes, he got quiet, he slowed down, but then he said, here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. The posture of a servant. One that doesn't submit to the force of a master, but one that is willing to surrender and trust that the master's got it and is in charge and knows best. And the master wasn't Eli, it was the Lord. And maybe we can't hear God for a couple of reasons. I mean, there's more than one, but I think there's so many competing voices. There's so much lack of silence in our world. Amen? I mean, there's so much noise. There's so many competing voices. And we have filled our hearts and our minds with so much noise. We don't even know it anymore. It's just, we're just numb. Voices of external critics, voices of comparison, voices of cravings and that we didn't even know we needed. Our own inner critic of jealousy, of comfort, whatever it is, our selfish appetites. And we miss out on that small, still voice of God speaking truth and promise and assurance and identity and value and divine purpose. Like you have a purpose. You are God's handiwork into the world. We need to quiet the noise. So we can hear the voice of him who is calling, who is promising. I think the second reason we don't hear is because maybe we don't want to respond. Maybe we're afraid of what we'd hear. And I know that's hard to hear, but I know it's true of my life. I think sometimes instead of saying, speak, God, your servant is listening, we say, speak, God, I will consider it. Or listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. Like, I've got some things I need to accomplish today. If you could just kind of bless them. I mean, let's be honest. Is it speak, Lord, your servant is listening? And God says, hey, cast your cares upon me. He wants us to come to him with our concerns, with our prayers, with our needs. And we should. But it should also be a dialogue of just quieting ourselves and listening. Maybe just meditating on a single verse of Scripture. Maybe it's reflecting on something that he's taught us or is teaching us. Maybe we don't hear because we don't want to respond. It's hard to have the posture of a servant. It takes courage. Maybe we don't get quiet because we're afraid of what we might hear, what we might have to change, what we might have to face, who we might have to forgive, what God might be asking me to do that is uncomfortable or not on my agenda. Or maybe I don't want to wait, or maybe I don't want to give it up. Or maybe I don't want to give up that money, that conversation, or that comfort, that relationship. Maybe I have to have a hard conversation. Maybe we don't want to respond to the invitation to go. But what might we be missing out on? That's the flip side of this. If we don't listen, if we don't respond to his prompting, what are we going to miss out on? In terms of his assurance, his promise, his blessing, his purpose. Seeing him work in our lives and in the lives around us. See, quiet does have to do with both the condition of our surroundings, but also the condition of our heart. And I truly believe that he will guide and lead and direct when we seek with that posture. A servant trusts the master. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. See, quiet does have to do with both the condition of our surroundings, but also the condition of our heart. The other thing I would say is this. When you can hear God in the moments of quiet, when you can sense him, when you can reflect on his truth, his leading, his guiding, I believe that you can hear him more in the other moments as well. My wife is great about this. She senses God. She says, it's my gut, but she knows, she says, I know it's the Holy Spirit, but I just feel in my gut I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to call this person. I'm supposed to walk up and talk to this person. And she's an introvert. She'll tell you that. And she said, it seems to never make sense. And it always seems random, and it takes courage. And every time she does it, it's been confirmed. Someone is encouraged or something. Someone's like, I cannot believe you called. You have no idea. Or I can't believe you asked me to serve or to have lunch with you. You have no idea what's going on in my life. See, God is working. He is speaking into our lives. And he wants us to trust him. And you know what it takes to be a good listener is listening. It's, I know for me, when I'm in an argument, maybe it's just me, but I'm always thinking about my response, right? Oh, I've got a good zinger, or I've got a reason, or I've got an excuse, or I've got a good comeback. But when we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening, we're just doing that. We're receiving and accepting. We're meditating on a truth or a promise or an invitation. The servant hears and obeys and trusts the master. And God's word, I believe, represents a calling and a speaking into our individual lives and our corporate lives. But individually, he's calling us first into relationship with him. What we celebrated through communion, through his life, through his death, through his resurrection. He wants to give us new identity and new purpose. And he's calling us into his great big plan to bring people back to himself. And he uses broken people like us to do that. And because of God's calling in Samuel's life and his willingness to surrender and obey God, Samuel moved from intern, emptying trashes and sweeping floors, to the mouthpiece of God. And Samuel preaches this message of repentance, of come back to God if you want to survive and thrive in this world. And Israel comes back. Samuel is the guy who anoints the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and King David. God works in him and through him and changes his position and his influence. And you're like, well, if I heard from God, I'd do that too. Well, he is speaking, but are we listening? And it does take courage. You know, it wasn't all roses and unicorns for Samuel. You know what his first responsibility was, his first kind of thing that God put on him? You got to tell your boss, Eli, who's been mentoring you and loving you for the last 10 years, that I'm about to bring judgment on his household. Well, that's a fun conversation. And Samuel responds and trusts. And look what it says about Samuel. So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel and from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. None of his words fell to the ground. Basically, people recognized that God was doing something in Samuel and through Samuel. And what he was saying was true, and that God was working in him and through him. And we better listen to this guy, Samuel. You know, that's the central promise of Scripture. The Lord is with you. Jesus, Emmanuel. And what if this was true of you? The Lord was with, fill in the blank. The Lord was with Chris. The Lord was with Tim. The Lord was with Becky. Because this is true. Your name goes right there. The Lord is with you. The question is, are we with Him? And I know that may sound harsh or hard, but man, as I study this, I believe He is with us. That's His promise. But do we have the posture of, speak, Lord, your servant is listening? Because Samuel's response transforms not just Samuel, but those around him. God didn't just speak to inform Samuel to do something for him. He spoke to transform him, to renew him, to give him new identity and new purpose. And he does the same for us. The Lord is with us. And he invites us in. He's not going to make you respond, but he's going to continue to invite you to. And he speaks clearly through his word, through the scriptures, through his spirit, through godly counsel, and to us who will listen. He invites us into relationship, to renewal, to transformation. But we've got to get our surroundings quiet, and we've got to get our heart quiet. Because what if God does speak loudest when we're quietest? What if God speaks loudest when we're quietest? And what if quiet's not just about my surroundings, but the condition of my heart? It's about both. How bad do we want to hear? Are we willing to pray a really bold prayer? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do something very uncomfortable. We're going to be quiet. And then I'm going to pray for us. So I want you to turn off your phones, get quiet. We're going to bring down the lights, and we're going to be quiet. And I'm going to open it up with just a few words, and then I'm just going to let you talk to God, but I want to invite you to listen. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now and open up our hearts and say, here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And maybe God will speak to you in these moments. Maybe he will say nothing. Maybe we could just enjoy the health benefits. But I pray whenever he speaks that you would respond. Maybe it's time for us to stop something, to start something, to help someone, to ask for help, to give generously, to give up something, to accept forgiveness, maybe to extend it. I don't know what God has for you today. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for moments of quiet. In a world full of noise and voices that distract and send the wrong messages, I thank you for your voice of truth and love and forgiveness and assurance and presence. I pray that we would crave, that we would discipline, that we would prioritize quiet moments with you, to speak with you, but also to listen. Thank you that it's modeled. I pray, and I pray that we would have a posture as Samuel did. That here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And I pray that we would remember the promise that you are with us and want to do amazing things in us to renew us and transform us and through us. And I thank you so much for Jesus, for his forgiveness, for his love, and for his presence. To all who accept him as forgiver and leader, we pray this in his name. Amen. Thank you for being here. If you'd like to visit, I'll be down in the front. Have a good afternoon.